President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit AFAAction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'm glad to get to speak to you this morning. I want to talk to you about the power of prayer. You know, we have lots going on in our nation, lots going on in the world. In the second segment, Tim Wildman's going to come on with me, and we're going to talk about his recent trip to Israel. And, you know, Israel is back at war with Hamas. I don't see how anybody can negotiate with Hamas. Hamas has one goal, and that is to eradicate Israel. It's pretty hard to come to some kind of a peace agreement with a group that is just committed to your destruction. But we're going to talk about that in the second segment. You know, we have lots that we're hearing about. We rejoiced about the astronauts coming home and Elon Musk being so strategic, SpaceX working with NASA to bring them home. And how does the left repay Elon Musk for what he's doing by trying to destroy his business? And if you've been keeping up with that, it really is disturbing. I was watching a clip from Jimmy Kimmel, and, you know, he's showing Tesla's being burned, and his crowd is cheering. They are happy about it. The Daily Show, whoever the comedian is that is speaking there, he's showing video, and they're cheering, you know, the destruction of Tesla. You know, Tesla employs close to 100,000 people in America. And Elon Musk has Tesla, he has SpaceX, he has Twitter X, he has Neuralink, he has the Boring Company. He's doing lots of things that are innovative and things that are very, very Starlink, things that help the world. And, you know, he said, hey, what, you're coming after my company because you hate me, and you hate me because I'm exposing the waste and fraud and corruption in government. It really doesn't make much sense. I saw a clip of one congressman saying, you know, help me understand this. You're not mad, speaking to those who are mad, you're not mad about the waste and fraud and corruption. You're mad at the guy who's showing you where there is the waste and fraud and corruption. That doesn't make any sense at all. It really is senseless. Tim Walz, the failed VP candidate of Kamala Harris, he was on a program with Gavin Newsom, and they were talking about things, and he was talking about he'd like to beat up, he thinks he could beat up all the people on the right, the people that support President Trump. And I saw him, he was before some kind of crowd, saying that he gets giddy every time he looks on his phone to review stocks and sees that Tesla stock is down. It just gives him a boost and a jolt. And, you know, it really is just shocking that you have this guy that very easily could have been the vice president of the United States that cheers when an American company goes down. And, you know, we have the phrase America first. Trump is all about America first. I love America. He just recently said on Fox News, and he does from an attitude of love for country. And then people that are against him are going to cheer when an American company goes under. And I said yesterday that I truly believe that many people on the left, obviously not everybody, but many people on the left would have rejoiced had SpaceX mission with NASA failed, and the rocket ship had blown up, and all those people had died. They would have said, well, that's too bad that they died, but we're grateful because this is a black eye for Elon Musk. We hate Elon Musk. We're going to burn out his cars. They would destroy the rockets if they could, but I don't think they are sophisticated enough to get close to them. But it's just sickening, and it's demonic. Jasmine Crockett, she said yesterday, all I want to see for my birthday, which is March 29th, is for Elon to be taken down. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Taken down how? To be killed? I think they would like it if he were killed. To be destroyed financially? Yeah, they would like that too. That affects a lot of people. You know, if Elon Musk and Tesla went down the drain, that would really cause problems for all those people that are employed there. They don't care. Obviously, they don't care. They would just rejoice. We hate this guy, and why do you hate him? Because he is, as the left frames it, he is destroying our country. He, along with Donald Trump, they're destroying our country. Listen, our country is on the fast track to bankruptcy. And anybody who is honest and looks at the numbers would say, yes, you can't continue. I mean, it's not difficult to understand. You can't continue to spend money like a drunken sailor and have a $2 trillion deficit year after year after year that adds on to this $36 trillion deficit that currently exists. You can't do that indefinitely. Eventually, there's a day of reckoning, and eventually, you just are classified and you know, deemed bankrupt. And I mean, the country is bankrupt at right now. I mean, if we got, you know, everything called in, boom, you have to pay your debts. We couldn't do it. But you know, we're just kind of floating along, and people are not thinking about the fact that what happens, and Elon Musk has said this, you know, we all go down the drain if America goes broke, and America's on the fast track to bankruptcy. And so you have to turn, you have to shut off the spigot, and you have to get rid of the waste and fraud and corruption. And because there is, as he said, 20% fraud, 80% waste. When you start hitting the fraud and you shut off the spigot of the people, the fraudsters getting money, well, guess what? They get very upset, and then they're going to coordinate their efforts to destroy you. It's kind of like ants. Those who live in Texas know about fire ants. You kick a fire ant mound and they come running to the point of attack, and they're going to bite you with all their power, and they don't care how many of them die. They're just going to inflict a lot of pain. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't know about those kinds of ants. We had ants in California. They were black ants, and they didn't hurt you. But the red fire ants in Texas, I got some on my hand, didn't think much about it until all of a sudden my hand started to hurt, and those things were biting me. And you get all these blisters that come from that. That's the way I see the left. You know, Todd Starnes pointed out that, you know, if people on the right, and these I'm speaking in generalities. I have people that get mad at me because they say, how dare you? You know, I'm a person on the left and I vote blue, and you're lumping me in with people that burn Teslas. It's like, listen, I'm speaking in generalities. And one lady told me, she goes, well, how do you know it's people on the left that are burning Teslas? I said, do you really think that it's Trump supporters that are going after Elon Musk and burning Teslas? I mean, good grief. Surely you can connect these dots. And I think, as Elon Musk has said, it's a coordinated effort. This is not just a couple of guys that are saying, hey, I'm mad about this and let's go burn a Tesla. This is happening in different places in the country, and it's a coordinated effort. Somebody's pulling the strings, you know, on these things. Just like we saw with the 22 senators, they all repeated the same talking points verbatim just a couple of weeks ago. It's like, well, who wrote that? there's some puppet master that's coordinating and controlling all of this stuff, and that's not hard to see. But the point is this. We see all these things. It's easy to get caught up in these things and get very angry, and you can have righteous indignation, and that's you know, a natural response, and that's a godly response. But what do we do with that? We pray. Now, Todd Starnes, let me just complete that thought. He said, you know, on the right, you have people, if we get frustrated or upset with somebody, Ben and Jerry's with their, you know, comments, and they're just so liberal and they're so pro-abortion, it's sickening. It's like, all right, I'm not going to buy your product anymore. But we don't firebomb Ben and Jerry's ice cream stores. We don't try and poison all the Ben and Jerry's ice cream in the supermarket. You know, we don't do that. So we get mad for moral reasons at a particular company. We just said, we're going to boycott. We're not going to do business with you. But the left says, you know, we're going to just try and destroy you through violent means. And that's a huge, huge difference. Now, here is the thing that Christians have to tap into, and that is the power of prayer. We've been talking about the need to pray for these leaders who are doing a good work. Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Elon Musk, and the cabinet, Pete Hegseth, and all the others, Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi, all the people that are trying to do a good work, Tom Holman, as the warders are, we need to pray for them. And see, Christians have something that no one else has, and that is access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is the God who answers prayer. And when you know God, and you not just know about Him in your mind, but you know Him in your heart, you've been bought with a price, as the scripture says, and you belong to Jesus, you are His child, well, you can call upon His name, and you can come boldly before His throne of grace, and you can ask Him to intercede, and you can ask Him to expose the lies and make it so plain to people. I just see these people, like the ones in Jimmy Kimmel's audience or the ones in the Daily Show audience, cheering these things. It's just, you know, we see people blowing up and burning the Tesla cars to the ground, and they're cheering and they're laughing and they're having such a great time. That's not normal. That doesn't make sense that they would do that, you know, and there's a part of me that sees that and says, well, I wonder how much you'd be laughing and cheering if somebody lit your car on fire. You know, you drove here tonight to this program to be in this audience. Well, what if you came outside and your car was on fire? Would you be laughing and cheering? No. And so it's always the other guy. Oh, that happened to you. That's really funny. You know, that's what you get. But we don't want it to happen to us. And so what do we do? We need to pray for those people, because the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And they're rejoicing over things that are not things to rejoice over. And, you know, if you rejoice over the misfortunes of others, the Lord even says in the book of Proverbs, don't do that. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. And so, you know, when our hearts are right and we see somebody who has been our enemy, we see them fall and fail. What do we do? If your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. We are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Hey, the power of prayer. God invites us into his throne room, And God is the one who is over all things. And as we call upon His name and ask Him to intervene and ask Him to open blind eyes, guess what? He listens to us. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Let's keep praying for America. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back with Tim Wildman.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Psalm 122, verse 6 tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. Well, Israel's peace or ceasefire with Hamas ended on Tuesday, March 18th. And mainly has to do with the hostage situation. The ceasefire, which began on January 19th, ended, and they're back at war. And I, as I said earlier, I don't know how you can have a peace treaty with a group that's just totally committed to your destruction. But that's what they're dealing with Hamas. Now, the president of American Family Radio, American Family Association, Tim Wildman, just got back from Israel a couple weeks ago, and he's with us today to tell us his experiences. And so, Tim, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? Have you recovered from your trip?
Yeah, pretty much recovered from our trip. You know, it takes you a few days, right, to get, you know, this, having traveled over there, to get back in your body and your mind and your sleep and all that gets together. But yeah, we're doing good.
And you guys had, I know it was a little cold, but you guys had a great trip.
Yes, we did. We went in February, the last third week in February, something like that. And we had a great trip. I mean, we had it by ourselves. We didn't stand in any lines, I'll tell you that right now. Everywhere we went, we were the only ones. This was a tour that we took with a lot of folks who listen to AFR and support our ministry. We were supposed to go last March, and it got postponed because of the war. And so we made it up in February. And so, yeah, that's what we did. We had a great time, though. It was, as you know, you've been many times, so much history, so many places you go, and you go, wow, I read about that in the Bible, you know, or this is where Jesus was, or this is where, you know, Abraham was, or whatever the case may be. It's just all those things come to life when you visit the Holy Land.
Tim, did it feel different given the situation with Hamas? Was there more tension?
Well, Gaza... physically, it was about probably 60 miles from the airport in Tel Aviv, and from maybe further than that, but not much, and from Jerusalem. And so we didn't go anywhere near Gaza. Mm-hmm. Of course, at that time, they were under a ceasefire anyway. Right. Nothing was going on. Now it's back to being military conflict. Well, Israel's trying to fight back against Hamas. But everywhere we even went to Bethlehem and Jericho, no problems. Bethlehem and Jericho are what's called the West Bank, and those are Arab cities. So sometimes, if you're visiting Israel, if you have a Jewish guide, they won't take you to Bethlehem or to Jericho, for example. And so we went there, went to Nazareth, went to the Sea of Galilee, took a boat ride. We did it, everything we wanted to do.
Were you able to go on the Temple Mount?
No. We went to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. Mm-hmm. We did go there and visited the old city, saw all the sites going through the old city. But we did not go atop the Temple Mount. I've done that a few times, but... sometimes the Muslim I guess, leaders there who control the mosque there and the Dome of the Rock. They don't want you up there. So
yeah.
You've been up there, hadn't you?
I've been up there, and you can feel the tension.
Yeah.
It's like there's just hatred up there as they just watch you. Everybody is, you know, you're just viewed as a terrorist or something by the Muslims. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, we didn't go up there. So I didn't feel the weirdness. But yeah, we rode a camel. You got my picture, didn't you?
I think I did.
Allison,
yeah,
riding a camel there.
How did Allison do?
Well, the older you get, now I'm 62 now, and I'm about your age, aren't you?
You and I are the same age, Tim.
Okay. The older you get, getting on that camel,
it's not easy.
No, it's a mine was a painful experience. Trying to straddle. Because my two hip joints were screaming out, "You can't do this. There's no way." Because that is a big animal, okay?
Yes.
That isn't like a horse. A horse is big enough, but, I mean, this is, you really have to get up there and straddle that thing. And so, anyway, we did get to ride the camel.
Was that at Jericho? Where'd you ride it?
That was on the way to the Dead Sea.
Okay.
It was halfway between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea area. The sign that behind where we were riding the camel said sea level, so that's where we were. But we're going back in March next. We're going next March, Lord willing. Are you going anytime?
We had to cancel our trip because we were 2 weeks out from or 10 days or so when the war broke out. So we haven't rescheduled it, but kind of waiting to see what's gonna.
Well, you can go to the Holy Land Experience in Orlando. Take your group down there.
Have you been there?
They may or may not know the difference. I don't know.
Have you gone to that?
I have not. I know some people who have, and they loved it. Have you?
No, I've never been.
Isn't that what it's called? The Holy Land Experience
Holy
in
Land
Orlando?
Experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they created that, you know, for people who visit Orlando and all the theme parks. They have something there spiritual they can do.
Yeah. I would call it the poor man's Holy Land trip, but it's probably pretty expensive.
No, you're right about that. The cost of things going up, except for your airfare, you're probably going to pay about the same.
Well, Tim, what do you think is going to happen with Israel and Hamas?
Well, okay, so when Biden was in office, he tried to handcuff Israel with what they could and couldn't do, right? In terms of their response against Hamas. With Trump in there, Trump has said, Israel, do what you have to do to protect your people and to defend yourself. And so I think Israel is going to take care of business now. I just don't think they're going to hold back any longer there. Listen, it's tragic that anybody loses their lives in a war. And I'm talking about not combatants. Well, you hate for anybody to die, but for combatants, the Hamas, Israel has to destroy the Hamas organization. They have to, and they can't stop now. They're about, probably 80% of the job is done. So they've got to finish the job. Now, will you be able to destroy the Hamas philosophy? No, that is the idea. But the idea that Israel, that all the Jews should be driven into the sea, and the Palestinians, you know, just take over the land there, the whole land of Israel. That's not going to happen. But the Hamas ideology is that, you know, that's why they get up every morning. They want to kill as many Jews as they can, drive them into the sea, take over the land. So I think Israel has overwhelming military might. And boy, here's what I was going to say. Here's what the unfortunate thing that Israel faces. When they fire their weapons or they take military incursions into Gaza, inevitably, non-combatants is what I would call them. Women, children are going to die.
Yeah.
That's sad and tragic, but it's inevitable because Hamas hides behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas hides in hospitals and mosques. And they don't fight like an army. you know, army versus army, mano versus mano. They put on, they fight guerrilla warfare, and they don't care if their citizens get killed for the most part, because their mission is to kill all the Jews and just destroy Israel. So Israel, while they try to avoid, what do you call it, collateral damage in warfare, they try to avoid that. They can't altogether. And anytime a non-combatant, or what they would call an innocent person, is killed, you know, the world's media comes down on Israel, you know, and the UN condemns Israel. Right. And you're going to hear that now, probably today, you know, ceasefire, stop the killing. Like Israel, you know, somebody said, if Hamas laid down its weapons and just wanted to live in peace, there would be peace in the region, and there would be prosperity sometime. But if Israel lays down its weapons, there's no more Israel.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I think that was Dennis Prager that said that. It was a good point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, their motto, we love death as much as you love life.
Yeah. It's sick. It's a cult of death.
It is. It's just demonic.
Yeah. Yeah, and Israel, Israel has, you know, they're pretty much at peace with Egypt and Jordan. These are surrounding Arab countries, and Saudi Arabia. And, of course, they've neutralized the Hezbollah organization, which is another terrorist group that's on the north in Lebanon. You got Syria. But Israel has basically, the surrounding Arab countries are not threatening to them right now. But this, if they can get rid of Hamas, that is just absolutely annihilate them. And those people, the Hamas, they're going to end up just living in rubble and living in tents if they don't change their ways, because they had Israel allowed them to live in their own Gaza, to be basically governed by Hamas, right?
Right.
And we'll leave you alone, you leave us alone type thing. Israel did that. And that's on Israeli land. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Gaza is still Israeli land. And then they did their October 7th, 2023?
Yes.
They did the, you know, we all know what happened on that day, the massacre, the butchery, the savagery that took place on that day, just unspeakable. And now that unleashed Israel on Gaza and on the Hamas organization there, and here we are today.
It's a sad deal. We need to keep praying for Israel. You know, sometimes when that drags on, people lose their steam, but we need to keep praying for them.
Yeah, but we are going back next year in March. So if folks, encourage people to go with you too, Jeff. Go with you when you go. But we're going to go back in March, and that's at, you can find out more information at Wildman, WILDMON, WildmanGroup.com.
WildmanGroup.com. Well, yep. I can guarantee you it's not going to be a dull trip with Tim Wildman. Tim, you always make everything fun.
Well, you have to be careful about using that word when you go to Israel, okay? Because we want to have fun, but we don't want to be shot at, right? That's what I tell people. We're not going to be shot at.
So it's February. It had to be cold there, and you still have people that want to be baptized in the Jordan. Did you guys do that?
Yes, we did. We did have our baptism service in the Jordan River. And Jeff, this is what you do next time you go, okay? When you lead your group over there. I know they want you to baptize, but you need to recruit another couple, three people, preferably pastors. And you get them to do it. Okay, this is just insider. This is tour leader insider stuff.
Inside baseball.
It's freezing, okay? Yes. I did it. I did it a few times. Then I said, I'm going to recruit some other people to do it. Then I don't have to, and I just stand on the side and watch them and clap.
Yes.
And then if they say, well, Brother Tim, can you baptize me? Then, Jeff, you say, I would, but I'm a little down in my back. You know, that little down in your back, that works every time, because everybody's been down in their back.
I can't remember the name of the place where everybody does the baptizing. What's it called?
Know, yes, it's just, I know it's up there by the Sea of Galilee. It's the Jordan River empty. Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River leaves the Sea of Galilee, and it's right there. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful setting, and people, listen, it is cold. Normally the water's cold, but people were blessed to be able to, they didn't care. They did have waiters for the
The baptizers has waiters. Yes. Now, when I went the first time, Tim, in 2007, we went in January 2007. I think I baptized 12 people or so.
Yeah.
And they didn't have waiters.
Oh no.
And it was freezing. Yeah. I could barely talk. I was so cold. And I ended up getting really sick from that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you got sick from the Jordan River.
Yeah, as you know, the Jordan is not the pristine body of water.
No, it's not destined. No, it's just a river, right?
It's a nasty river. You can't even go and baptize where Jesus was baptized by John, because that's just a mud hole.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, yeah. You're a good promoter of tours there, Jeff. Horrible, dirty river, cold. You're going to have to change your advertise if you're going to get people to go with you. I'm going to tell you.
Huh? I'm not making it up, though, am I?
It's cold. The river's about I'm going to say 50 yards across where we are to get the baptism area. But yeah, we had a great time, and again, we're going next March. If people want to go with us, just go to Wildmon, WILDMON group.com. Or wait on Brother Jeff's next trip and go with him.
Yeah, I may go with you.
Yeah, hey.
But then you'd make me baptized.
Well, yeah, because of my back.
I'm down
on my back.
Down in your back. Okay. Well, Tim, thanks so much for coming on today. You're a blessing, my friend. Okay. Now, you still need to come see me in Texarkana.
We're going to golf when it warms up. I'm going to come over there and preach, and we'll go golf.
Okay? All right, I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, brother. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. That was Tim Wildmon talking about his Israel trip, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the scripture says. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, give me a call and let's talk. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We were talking to Tim Wildmon. Tim had to go, but his trip to Israel was a great success. And even though it's in the midst of the ceasefire and things are still a little tense, they're obviously, the ceasefire is over now, so you know, people are not wanting to go to Israel. He took his trip to Israel. Everything was fine. As he said, you know, the conflict is in Gaza, which is about 50, 60 miles from where tour groups and things would be. But we need to pray for those folks. Our tour guide, Pilar Blanco, I keep up with her on Facebook. And it's very, very difficult because most of their economy is based on tourism. And when you're in a war, as they've been at war with Hamas since October 7th, tourists don't come by and large. And so we need to pray for them, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we've talked numerous times on the program how the devil hates Israel because God has made promises to Israel and the devil wants to destroy Israel. And Islam and the terrorist organizations embedded in Islam, just baked into the whole recipe and of Islamic doctrine and the life of Muhammad, is just evil. And every false religion is satanic. It's not godly because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the devil never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so every false religion is satanic, and none is more satanic, I believe, none is more satanic than Islam. And they're at war again with Hamas. The ceasefire is over, so we need to be praying for them. And we have the privilege to come boldly before God's throne of grace to pray. You know, I was thinking the power of prayer. So what we see going on in our world, we want to pray. We need to pray. God invites us to pray. He wonders at the fact that so many people don't pray. And as we pray for our leaders and pray for our country and pray for revival to come, we need to remember that, as I said, the left is not our enemy. They're our mission field. So we pray that God would remove the blinders that the devil has put upon their eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul said, "But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So let's pray that the light of the gospel of the glory of God would break through the darkness, and so that people could see. And we do want to pray that these senseless attacks against Elon Musk and his company and the Tesla owners would cease, and that there would be consequences, because lots of horrible behavior gets curtailed when there are serious consequences. And as Kevin O'Leary said on CNN, hey, those people that are burning up those cars, they need to be arrested and they need to be put in prison for 5 to 20 years. You put serious consequences on that, and people think twice about doing it. So we do have the privilege from the Lord to call upon his name. And as Elijah prayed in 1 Kings chapter 18, when he went up against the prophets of Baal, they called on their false god from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., but Baal didn't answer, because Baal's not God. Baal doesn't exist. It's a false god. And then when Elijah called upon God, God answered in mighty power. And the people responded and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And they slew the prophets of Baal. And so God is the God who answers prayer as we call upon his name. Well, we are opening the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. And we have Nancy on the line from Tennessee. Nancy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Sunday morning, we had a lesson in our Sunday school book about when Jesus turned the water into wine. Uh-huh. And we had a discussion about whether it was alcoholic or not. Excuse me. I didn't think it was, because that would almost... Okay, the scripture, the lesson writer said, well, after they were drunk, then Jesus turned the water into wine. And I said, whoa. Should it not be after they had drunk the wine? Because I use King James. But I don't know which version that particular person used. But it just does not seem right that he would have let people be drunk and then make alcoholic wine. And I know it's debatable. It's probably been discussed forever and ever and ever. But I just kind of want to get a different your view, because I heard my pastor and I heard my Sunday school teacher, and everybody's different. So.
Yes. Really good question. You're exactly right. People do debate this and go back and forth. I have a friend of mine, Pastor Brumbelow, who wrote a book, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but he deals with this issue. Maybe it's Wine in the Bible. I forget what the actual title is, but it's very good. He does a good job with this. And basically, he comes down and says that Jesus didn't make intoxicating wine for the people. And he's not bringing it, because the amount that he brings to them you know, there are six stone water pots set for the Jewish custom of purification. This is John chapter 2, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. So on the low side, he would have made 120 gallons of wine. On the high side, it would have been 180 gallons of wine. And, you know, to think that he would bring in, you know, you imagine you invite Jesus to your wedding, and what's the wedding gift he brings? 180 gallons of Jack Daniels. That doesn't make sense at all. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, and or 20, verse 1. And so I don't think it was... Could you get drunk on the wine that they drank? Yes, you'd have to drink so much of it. You'd probably get sick before you'd get drunk, and because it was cut with water to a great extent. And so that was the normal drink that they had, because the water, from what Pastor Brumbelow says, the water, David Brumbelow is his name. Steve Brumbelow is his brother, and he's a good friend of mine. So it's David Brumbelow that wrote this book. But the water that they had wasn't purified. It didn't have chlorine to purify it or anything like that. So they would cut it with wine, and or add wine there and cut the wine with the water. And so it wasn't intoxicating from that standpoint. I mean, you could drink enough of it to get intoxicated, but you would have to drink so much of it that it would just be, it would blow your mind. So they didn't do that. Now, it says in John chapter 2 that when they drew some out and took it to the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." It doesn't say once the people are drunk, then they can't tell the difference. If it says when the people have drunk freely, that I think that is the point that he's making. And so I'd be with you on that, Nancy. I don't think he's providing an alcoholic beverage like we know of today. And the wine in the Bible is not like the wine that we have today.
So it would be that version of the Bible he used that said after they were drunk. And I don't know what version that book, you know, the lesson author used. Yes. Bible. I mean,
yeah, I just don't know. Yeah, so it's New American Standard that I'm using, and it says after they had drunk freely, and it's one word in the Greek, which means it can be translated to be drunk. But I think to drink well, so I think drunk freely is a better translation of that to get the sentiment versus, you know, after they were inebriated. That's not what they were saying. I don't think that's what the scripture is inferring, that, you know, hey, you serve the good wine, everybody gets drunk and, you know, can't see straight, and then you have the poorer wine next. I don't think that's what that means. But it's a good question. I appreciate you calling in and asking about that. And so you can check it out. I would encourage you to do a Google search on David Brumbelow. I think it's called Wine in the Bible or something like that. But you'll see it there if you do a Google search on it. And it's a really well done book. So God bless you, Nancy. Thanks for calling in. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jim, appreciate you taking my call, brother. Yeah, you had talked about prayer earlier.
Yes,
and
sir.
The Lord just laid it on my heart. I called, and I figured I was probably too late. But, you know, it's not the length of our prayer. It's the depths of our hearts in those prayers, I think, that make all the difference. Don't you, brother?
Yes.
That's really all I had.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, well, you know, the Pharisees would pray these long prayers. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. But they'd pray these prayers to be seen of men and to be heard of men, and they weren't connecting with God. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, when he told the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, he said, he told that parable for the Pharisees' sake, because they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And he said, you know, the Pharisee went up to the temple to pray, and he prayed thus with himself, you know, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all that I have. What a good boy am I. But he prayed thus with himself. His prayers weren't going to God because his heart was wrong. And Jesus commended the tax collector who, you know, the people hated tax collectors, but he used that as an example. And the tax collector was beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he said, I tell you the truth, that man went home justified and the Pharisee just went home. Because God does business with those who mean business. And if you trust in yourself that you are righteous and view others with contempt, you're not going to connect with God. We have to come, as a friend of mine told me one time early in my Christian life, he said, Jeff, the ground is all level at the foot of the cross. And so we come before the Lord. We don't put on airs. We're not better than anybody else. We all come by grace through faith, and we are all amazed. We, as the song says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, and unclean. And we come before the Lord with gratitude, with awe, with thanksgiving to say, God, thank you for allowing me to come into your presence. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you, Lord, for giving me access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, how mind-blowing is that? You can talk to the God of the universe. A friend of mine was commenting how he got to meet President Donald Trump yesterday and was invited, you know, to the White House. And he was just, you know, blown away, as most of us would be. He had to meet the president. That's a big deal. But that's nothing compared to I get at any time access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. I am ushered into his presence, not by my good works, but by the work of Jesus on the cross. And because he died for me and he shed his blood and he rose again from the dead, I can have a relationship with the eternal God through Jesus Christ. And I have access. The veil of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom, and I have access to the living God of the universe who can do all things. And there's nothing too difficult for him. And so we bring it back to how we started. Hey, there's much going on in our world, and there are people that are very, very angry. As Elon Musk said, you shut off the money supply to these people and they get angry. Why? Because in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. And then it goes on with a long laundry list of evils. But they're lovers of self and they're lovers of money. And if you mess with their money, you mess with their God, and they get very, very angry, and they will burn your car to the ground. And they will try and destroy you, and they will try and kill you if they can. And no doubt they would love to kill Elon Musk and Donald Trump and everybody in his cabinet. We can make the difference, Christians, because we can pray and we can ask God to intervene. And listen, no matter how bad it may look in a given situation, God is the God of might and miracle. And if he can say to 4-day-old dead Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth and raise him up from the dead, there is no limit to what he can do in your life, in my life, in your marriage, my marriage, your family, my family, and in our communities, in our state, in our region, and in our nation, and in the world. So let me encourage you to pray, and pray big, and keep trusting the Lord no matter what. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Tomorrow, we're going to have a great interview with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the author of the book, The Eclipse of God. You don't want to miss it. Shine for Christ. Share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.